Bless the Lord, everybody. Come on, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul and all that is within me, bless his holy name. God is good and he's worthy to be praised. Certainly has navigated our niches and allowed us the privilege of being participatory and present in this place once again. It's good to be alive, alert and active. For it is in the Lord Jesus Christ we live, move, and have our being. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank
today.
Blessed us beyond enumeration. Blessed us beyond our worth. Glory to his name. Certainly we thank God for blessing us to have eyes to see, ears to hear, a tongue that can talk, and hands to wave. We thank him for our very being, for God is God and he's God alone. And if God didn't do it, it wouldn't be done. Certainly we thank God for the preacher wives, the deacon wives, trusty wives, for devoting us. Thank God for the deacons. Thank God for these preachers all around in the pulpit and in the congregation. Thank God for the male chorus. Come on, bless the Lord for them. Thank God for the environmental safety team and the media ministry. Thank God for each and every one of you who's here and those who are watching virtually. We just thank God for life. Thank God for blessing us above ground, because everything above the ground is grace. He didn't have to do it, but he did. He spared us and caused our golden moments to roll on a little while longer. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verses 1 and 16. You have been led already by way of our reading in unison what our preaching premise is. But I want to emphasize a thought, and for that reason I want to read verse 1 and verse 16. If you have it, say amen. Amen. It says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Verse 16. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Look at somebody, if you will, and say, we faint not. We don't lose heart. Look at another and say, we don't lose heart. We faint not. Amen. There is no give up in us. There is no give up in us. For what we have on the inside causes us to keep pressing, praying and praising God in spite of our troubles. Paul wrote this particular passage to us as believers to reveal to us the secret of endurance. He tells us how to hold on, how to stay rooted and grounded in faith in God until the end. He tells us how to respond to God properly in the midst of suffering. He tells us how to be prepared to suffer without losing heart. Life is full of trouble, full of struggles, and we face pressures, disappointments, we face obstacles, we are burdened by pressures, problems, and problematic people. Moments of pressure and stress can cause us to want to throw up our hands and walk away from it all. But Paul speaks to us as believers dealing with real life difficulty and distress, and he says to us, we faint not. He says twice in chapter 4, so it is of importance that he thought so much of it that he would say it to us twice, we faint not. Verse 1, we faint not. Verse 16, we faint not. The word faint means to turn out a coward, to lose one's courage, to be faint-hearted, to despond in view of trial and difficulty. But I like Paul because he didn't just leave the word faint to hang out there on his own. He puts with faint or before faint, he says, or after faint, he says, we faint not. Which means that it's the opposite. Instead of losing courage and becoming despondent, we are sustained, encouraged, and emboldened in the midst of our struggles. Paul, no stranger to difficulties and suffering, he writes from his own experiences. He had many trials on his journey, and he was able to look back down on the issues of his past, his own experiences, to encourage us as believers in the midst of our struggles. He was not disheartened by the difficulties he met. His faith and zeal did not flag. He was enabled to be faithful, to be laborers and courageous, always kept up in his mind and was filled with cheerfulness in spite of the dangers and difficulties he faced. He was determined not to allow his difficulties to drive him from his purpose in life. And let me pause to say to us, you got to know your purpose. And when you know your purpose, you got to be determined in your purpose. You can't allow your difficulties to drive you or to deter you away from your purpose. He was strengthened. And he did not fail under trial. He fainted not. He tells us not to faint. Look at the person beside you, if you will, and help me preach this union style by telling them, faint not. He says, don't faint. Don't lose courage. And don't become faint-hearted. I know you're going through a lot. I know your struggles are mounting. I know your struggles are many. I know if it's not one thing, it's another. But don't you faint. Don't lose courage. Don't become faint hearted. I know they're lying on you. I know they're digging ditches. I know they're trying to plot or they are plotting your demise. But don't you faint. Don't you lose courage. Don't become faint hearted. I know you're struggling to make your monthly obligations. I know your children are misbehaving. I know there's a lot going on in your life. But don't you faint. Don't lose courage. And don't become despondent. Because God has strength for you. God is strengthening you now. Notice the text. Three things Paul shares with us from the text that warrants our attention. He says, we faint not because the outward decays, but the inward is renewed. Verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. Brothers and sisters, every one of us in here have an outward and inward man. In other words, we have a body and we have a soul. Paul says the outward man perishes. Perishes means to grow old, becomes weak and feeble, lose its vigor and elasticity. He says under many trials which we endure and under the infirmities of advancing years, we are decaying. We see this truth daily. Steps grow slow. Sight grows dim. Hearts fail. Taste palls. Hands tremble. Limbs wobble. Breath grows hard. Hair turning gray. Body ache. And the body is not as agile as it was. Somebody can be a witness today. You can't do what you used to do. It's the outward body. The outward man is fading every day. It's decaying every day. When I was a little younger, I thought I was immortal. I thought I had, strength that would last forever. But as days pass, and as months and weeks pass, and as years rolled on, I started feeling my age. It's the truth being revealed and spelled out to us every day. He says we die daily. And this is literally true. Because scientifically there's something called apoptosis. And apoptosis is programmed cell death. In an average human being, between 50 to 70 billion cells die each day. We are dying at all times, little by little, our bodies are wasting away. And Paul says that our outward man is perishing. But there's another reality at work within us. While we are dying on the outside, we are becoming or being renewed on the inside. Oh, the word renewed means renovate, strengthen, to invigorate. So Paul says daily experience and constant increase of outward decay. And at the same time, he's renewing us on the inside. Here's what it looks like. We are dying and living at the same time. We are on our way to death and we are experiencing new life at the same time. And this is happening all at the same time every day. Paul said this to put our focus as believers on the right thing. You know, so often we spend so much time and we invest so much time in building the body. You know, we ascribe to expensive diets, and I'm not telling you not to diet. Because we want to focus on the outer body, the outer man. We jog and exercise, focusing on the outer body. You know, everything you purchase in this life deals with the outer body. Your car. Deals with your outer body, your clothing, your home. All of that deals with the outer body. Even, when we go and get our hair cut and our hair done. Outer body. And we spend so much time and so much energy and so much money in trying to get the outer body right. That we are failing to focus on what matters the most, which is the inner man. Some of us look good on the outside, but look terrible on the inside because we haven't invested the time that we should have invested in building up the inner man. We spend most of our resources and our time and energy investing in what's perishing. Now, I'm not trying to tell you not to look good because I do my best to look good. But he says the focus of the believer should not be on the outward dying of the body, but on the power of God and the person of his son, Jesus Christ, that we can get them on the inside. Verse 7, he says, we have this treasure in dying bodies, in earthen vessels, in cracked clay pots, that the surpassing greatness of his power may be of God and not from ourselves. In other words, God intentionally gives us the treasure within, and he pours it into no good containers. These bodies that we have are cracked clay pots that as he pours in us, we spill on other people. He knows there's nothing to us. He knows that we're not all that. But he pours it into us anyway, with the intentions of spilling it out on others. He says, we are nothing but cracked clay pots. Something that's not even desirable to look at. And he says the reason God gives his treasure in cracked clay pots is because he's mindful of his excellency. That he wants the credit, he wants the glory. And so he pours it into us. These decaying bodies, he's pouring his treasure into us. And to show you how the body is decaying and that the body is not of value, of the most value, he deals with it in verse 10. He says, always caring about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our bodies. We faint not because Jesus Christ is manifest in our fickle, frail, and fragile bodies. You know, when people look at us and see amazing things, they have to say, wow. That's right. And they have to own up that it's God that's doing what's done in your life. You ever thought about that? That God, he intentionally puts you on display so other people can say, wow. Because notice, on your own, you would not have made it. On your own, you would not be who you are. On your own, you wouldn't have what you have. But God put it in you so people can look at you and say, wow. That's right. Look at what God has done in the life of that no good sister, that no good brother. You know, that fits all of us. We at one time were no good. But look at what God has done and what God has done. He's not through with us yet. God can take a nobody and make him somebody, pour his gospel in him, and he can save anybody. Somebody here ought to be a witness that our outward is decaying, but our inward is being renewed. Verse 11, he says, for we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our mortal flesh. Paul saw the wearing and suffering and decaying and dying of the outward man as the agent to nurture somebody else in God, that God gets the glory. Paul says we can stand, and we are not cowards because we are being renewed day by day. We're being strengthened on the inside day by day. I can remember Caleb. You remember Caleb and Joshua? Caleb said something when he was 80 years old that he didn't say when he was 40. Caleb said, give me this mountain at the age 80. He says, I can take it because I'm stronger now than I've ever been. Somebody here ought to be that same witness. You may be feeble in your body, but you got strength on the inside. And you are stronger now, more on the inside than you have been all of your days. Listen, your experiences have increased your faith. Everything said about you, everything done to you, every ditch dug for you, every situation you suffered, every person that turned from you has been a source of strength to you, because you would have never drew to God closer in relationship with God if those people hadn't done what they done to you. You ought to thank God for every experience now, because you are stronger. Look at somebody and say, I'm stronger. I got more strength now. I can handle some stuff now. If you were going to get me, you should have got me when I was weak. If you were going to get me, you should have got me when I didn't have what I have. If you were going to get me, you should have got me when I didn't know God. But oh, buddy, you messed up and let me get my faith together. And I got my faith in the one who's able to do exceeding abundant and above all I could ever ask or think. I'm stronger. I needed to go through what I went through to know God like I know him. And for that reason, I'm stronger. I can take some now. Go on with your plotting self. I can take some now. Go on with your backstabbing self. I can take some. I'm preaching better than yours. Amen. Go on and dig ditches, but you better dig two, because the one you dig, I can take some stuff now because of my experiences. I've been renewed on the inside. Listen, don't you let this gray hair fool you. Somebody ought to be a witness. You ought to point at somebody and say, I know I got some snow on top, but don't let that fool you. Don't you let this limp fool you. Don't you let this walker or this wheelchair fool you. You may be looking at the exterior, but I got some on the inside. I'm stronger than the person you see. He says we are being renewed day by day. He says not only is the inward man renewed, but secondly, he says our destiny is glorious. Verse 17, he says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Paul says that what we deal with now is light. Our troubles, now while we're in it, it doesn't seem light. It seems heavy. But Paul says it is light. And Paul has all the right to say it's light. All, out of all that he's gone through in his life, Paul, he says, it's light. In 2 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 27, Paul talks about his great labor, his imprisonment, his countless beatings, his near-death experience, 39 lashes upon his back by the Jews, his beatings with rod, his being stoned, shipwrecked 3 times, a night adrift at sea, in danger from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from his own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger from false brothers, sleepless nights, hungry and thirsty. And he says it's light. Light afflictions. How could Paul call earthly sufferings light affliction? Here it is. Here it is. Paul takes his earthly afflictions and he puts it on the scale. And he takes his eternal glory and he puts it on the same scale, on the opposite side. And he says when he put them both on the scale,
His eternal glory outweighed his earthly afflictions. See, the reason some of you can't shout is because you're too busy looking at the earthly and missing the eternal. See, when you look at what God is doing in your life, when you put the eternal eternal glory on the scale in the earthly affliction, the eternal glory will always outweigh the affliction. He says, they're not as heavy as you think. When you look at the weight of what God is going to do and give you in eternity. I can go through it because it's light. Another reason he can call it light is because Jesus Christ helps us bear our load. That's why Jesus gave that incessant invitation in Matthew 11. Beginning with verse 20, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. That word, those words mean to be extremely wearied and burdened. He says, whenever you feel extremely wearied and burdened, he says, come. Give me what you can't handle. I can handle it because I can give it to him. I don't have to carry it, so I can handle it because I got a Savior who gives me an invitation anytime I need to come. I can just call on his name. Is there anybody here have been weighed down in life and all you did was call on his name? It's just something about the name of Jesus. When you call Jesus' name, demons will tremble. When you call Jesus' name, sickness got to flee. When you call Jesus' name, it'll make you feel better. Somebody knows when you call his name, he'll put clapping in your hand and running in your feet. Put a hallelujah in your mouth. It's just something about calling his name. He says it's light because when you put it on the scale, it doesn't outweigh the eternal weight of glory. He says it's light because there's an incessant invitation that you can give it over to Jesus. You don't have to bear it. Not only does he say it's light, he says it's momentary. You know, I'm glad that my troubles have an expiration date. You know, when you go into the grocery store or a store, there's a date on that food or juices. And it says, better sold by. It has an expiration date, which means that it's not too good after the expiration date. Listen, just like you go in the grocery store and you look at those items to see, you know, the expiration date, every now and then you need to look at your troubles and see what date God has stamped on it. Because the old church would say it this way, trouble, y'all know what I'm talking about. And while we're trying to figure it out, God has already worked it out. He has given us an expiration date to our troubles. Have you ever gone through something and it seemed like you were going to never make it through it? While you were suffering it, it was like it was going to last forever and a day. But look at you now. Trouble don't last always because God has stamped an expiration date. Paul says it's momentary. In for that reason, he was able to put pen to paper in Romans 8, verse 18. He says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Bishop Larry Trotter composed the song, "What's to come is better than what's been." Celebrate new beginnings. Leave the past behind. Don't worry, because it's over. God is preparing better things, for what's to come is better than what's been. He has an expiration date. He won't leave us in the storm. Ask Peter and the disciples. He won't leave us in the storm. He'll come to us from the mountain and calm the storm, expiration date. He won't leave us in the storm of death. Jairus saw him, and Jesus was on his way to Jairus' house, and a woman with an issue disturbed him and kept Jesus from making it to the house before the damsel died. He thought it was all over. They had already called in the professional mourners. Jesus said, "Death has an expiration date." He says, "Damsel, get up." And she came back to life. Hungry people out on a hillside, and hunger is a storm. But he won't leave us in the storm alone. Jesus had compassion. He says, "Survey the crowd. What do you see?" Brought back two small fish, sardines, and five sardine crackers. And he broke that and fed the multitude. He won't leave us in the storm. Listen, when you're at your lowest, you better know that God is getting ready to do something, because he won't leave you in your storm. There's an expiration date. And listen, you can go on and prepare yourself for coming out. You can go on, prepare yourself to celebrate, because God is not going to leave you in the storm. There's an expiration date. But Paul, he leads us by telling us, not only are we renewed inwardly, not only is there glorious destiny, he says, but our focus is on the unseen. He says we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. He says that what we see is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. In other words, it's here today and gone tomorrow. So I don't fix my eyes on what's temporal. I keep my eyes on what's eternal. I thank God for Jesus, because Jesus is eternal. He's my eternal Savior. He's my eternal Lord. And whenever I'm in trouble, I can depend on my eternal Savior and my eternal Lord. I thank God for Jesus, because when I'm low, he's a company keeper. When I'm down, he'll pick me up. When I'm out, he will bring me in. I thank God for Jesus. You ought to look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor,
I got my eyes on Jesus. I can't see him, but I can feel him. I can't see him, but I can hear him. I got my eyes on Jesus. Jesus is my horse pawing in the valley. Jesus is my wheel in the middle of the wheel. Jesus is my rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. Jesus is my all in all. Is there anybody here can be a witness that when you need the Lord, he'll come see about you? I thank God for Jesus, because Jesus fight my battles. Jesus, he forgives my sin. Jesus, he restores me within and makes me ready for all that I would face and deal with in life. I thank God for Jesus. I thank God for Jesus, because one Friday he died. He was hanged on an old rugged cross. He was hanged between two thieves. He died that Friday. They put his lifeless body in the grave that Friday. It held him that Friday, that Saturday, but early Sunday morning, he got out of that grave with all power, heaven and earth in his hands. He got power to make you clap. He got power to make you cry. He got power to make you laugh. He got power to make you run. I want to ask you my question: ain't he all right? If you know he's all right, why don't you fist bump a few people and tell them, I thank God for Jesus. Jesus, he'll make a way. Jesus, he is the way. Let me ask you one more time. Ain't the Lord all right? If you know he's all right, let me hear you say, yeah, 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 yeah. The doors. The doors. The doors stand ajar. Everyone to your feet if you will. The Lord, he will renew you daily. The Lord is our focus. And if we keep our eyes on him, we faint not. We faint not because he's our focus. We're not cowards. We can take it. We can face it. Because we got Jesus on our side. We can press forward because of who he is and what he's doing. Listen, if you're here today and you're not saved, I beseech you, by the mercies of God, to give the Lord your life while the blood is running warm in your veins. Come and make him Lord by simply believing in him as the Son of God. Believe that he died and God raised him from the dead. The Bible says if you can believe that and confess that with your mouth, thou art saved. Secondly, if you're here in need of a church home and the Lord has laid New Bethlehem Baptist Church on your heart, come on, come on, come on. Thirdly, if you're here and you need to be restored, come on. Come on. The Lord will save you. He will restore you. We will receive you. Come on. Come on. Come on. The doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. Strong. I'm wise, better, so much better.
Come on, come on, come on. I wish I could. Come on, the doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. Come on.
Would have made it. Never could have made it without you.
Come on, come on.
Would have lost it all.
Come on, come on, come on. The doors. Father, we thank you for today. What we have received from you. We're stronger now because you're renewing us within. We can face the pressures and the pain and problematic people because you are renewing us day by day. Thank you for a bright future, a glorious future that we will spend eternity with you because we have faith in you and your Son and the work that he has done for us on the cross of Calvary. Now, Father, we make ready to leave this place, but never your divine presence. And we pray that you will be with us, that you will encamp angels around us and send angels before us to keep us on the way. Lord, we pray that our week be blessed. And Father, you give us courage to stand before a wicked and perverse people and declare your truth, that Jesus is the way of salvation. He's the way of life, and he's the truth. Now, Father, we pray blessings upon every person here under the sound of my voice and all who's watching virtually as they have brought themselves under your auspices, under your control. We pray, Lord, that you bless them. Give them your love, your peace and joy. Give them communion with your Holy Spirit from this day and forevermore. In Jesus' name, every heart say amen.